You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, my friends, to another exciting and, dare I say, unforgettable broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, April 26th. Coming to you live tonight from our flagship radio station in Memphis, Tennessee, and of course, as always, going out to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online to a global audience, fans from around the world tuning in at thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's a one-man show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. All of my comrades have abandoned me. Well, not really abandoned me. They are absent with an official leave. Everything is good, and for good cause, they are gone this evening. Both Keith Alexander and Eddie the Bombardier Miller are not just out of the studio tonight, but out of town, not even in the greater Memphis area as I open up tonight's live program. Keith Alexander is just on a vacation, but, you know, vacations are important. We should all recharge the batteries from time to time. Keith taking a weekend to himself and hopefully having a great time. Eddie the Bombardier Miller, though, was up in Nashville, Tennessee this morning. He actually is still there. He participated in his second 26.2 mile marathon. Eddie the Bombardier Miller at 67 years of age. He did it a couple of years ago here in Memphis, the St. Jude Marathon, benefiting the pediatric victims of childhood diseases, catastrophic diseases like cancer. Eddie ran 26.2 miles a couple of years ago, year before last, I guess it was. And he did it again today in upper 80 degree weather in a very hilly terrain in Nashville. 67-year-old Eddie Miller in Nashville tonight, where he has completed 26.2 miles of running. I don't know. I played high school basketball, so I guess if you added it all up, I probably ran up and down the court an equivalent of 26.2 miles. But, I mean, in a day? I don't know if I could do that now. I'm half the age of Eddie. So God bless Eddie the Bombardier Miller, ladies and gentlemen. And Keith Alexander, we go it alone without our comrades tonight. I guess everybody else I know is up at the American Renaissance Conference this evening. I had made plans to go myself, but life does have a way of changing even the best of plans from time to time. My wife, of course, is expecting our second child, and we're all family here, right? You know, we talk about being a family. You're not my listeners. You're my family, my extended family. My wife, morning sickness. You know how it is, anyone that's had children. She has a perpetual morning sickness, unfortunately. Bless her heart. It starts when she wakes up and goes until the end of the day. It's a 24-hour morning sickness, and I couldn't, of course, in good conscience, leave her with our 4-year-old daughter alone for the weekend, as important as American Renaissance is. And I know they're having a great time. That conference is in full tilt right now. Saturday night, they're probably getting ready for the evening banquet speaker, and I know a lot of people had sent me emails hoping that they would see me there, a lot of our fans, and I hate to disappoint anyone, but if that's not a good reason, I don't know what could be, but I'm with you all in spirit, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you who will listen to this perhaps in the broadcast archives after the fact, those who are at the American Renaissance Conference, Jared Taylor always doing a great job organizing those, and I had the opportunity actually to speak at that very prestigious gathering a couple of years ago, and it's always fun. Happy San Jacinto Day. This is probably something, not probably, there's no doubt about it. If you have gone to school in the last 20 or 30 years, you certainly didn't learn about this. You might have heard about it elsewhere. They haven't taught this in school probably in 50 years or more, but this date in history, a pretty significant day in American history, took place a few days ago, April 21st, 1836. Texas forces won the Battle of San Jacinto, the concluding military event of the Texas Revolution, facing General Santa Anna's Mexican army of some 1,200 men. General Sam Houston disposed his forces in a battle At about 3:30 p.m. during siesta time, I guess all the Mexicans were taking a nap or something, the Texans' movements were screened by the trees and rising ground, and evidently Santa Ana had no lookouts posted. The Texas line, and this is on our website, little one-paragraph history of this significant battle, sprang forward on the run with cries of "Remember the Alamo." The battle lasted 18 minutes, and according to the official report, the casualties were 630 Mexicans killed and 730 taken prisoner. Against these numbers, only nine of the 910 Texans were killed or mortally wounded. 30 were wounded less seriously. Of course, after this battle, Santa Ana was subsequently captured and forced to sign treaties, the outcome of which resulted in the end of hostilities and opened the door for the independence of the Republic of Texas. April 21st, 1836, and of course, those descendants of those very same Texans would go on just a few years later and fight on behalf of the Confederate States of America. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be wrapping up our exclusive coverage of Confederate History Month 2014. Dr. Michael Hill, president of the League of the South, is going to be our guest, our featured guest, during the second hour as we wrap up Confederate History Month, our exclusive coverage of that, coming up in just a few minutes. But this thing with San Jacinto, I mean, this, can you imagine now, if that battle were to be fought again? You know, something tells me that real men, real Americans like Davy Crockett and Sam Houston would be rolling over in their graves if they could see what's happening in Texas now. I mean, if this was the American military or government now, they would, you know, extend to Santa Ana, you know, full amnesty, welfare set-asides, housing subsidies, all the kind of goodies you could possibly imagine, anchor baby privileges, money to send back to Mexico. You'd be treated as a superior citizen because as a person of color, you were certainly higher on the diversity totem pole than the dispossessed majority. I'm glad America wasn't rotted to the core with the scourge of political correctness during the time of the Battle of San Jacinto. And we compare that now to what we see in Washington State. I don't really have a lot of time to get into this story, but I can tell you that Western Washington University hates European Americans. They hate white people. In fact, university president Bruce Shepard equates a white student body and faculty to failure. A school-wide questionnaire at Western Washington University asked the community to help us make sure that in the future years we are not as white as we are today. Every year from this stage and at this time, you've heard me say that if in the decades ahead we are as white as we are today, we have failed as a university, said University President Bruce Shepard. In the decades ahead, should we be as white as we are today, we will be relentlessly driven toward mediocrity. Let me tell you something, folks. No other group of people in the world would allow this type of speech to be tolerated. Can you imagine if he said, you know, this university is too black, and if we don't get some more whites in here, it's a shame, it's a disgrace. We'll be a sad shadow. Think about that, folks. We need spokesmen for our issues, and you got one here. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back, everybody. As I said, my normal roster of co-hosts are out of pocket this evening, so we have gone deep into the dugout, and I mean deep, and we have pulled forward our intrepid Washington, D.C. area correspondent, Peter Scoop Stanton, who will be co-hosting with me for the remainder of this hour, and I will tell you this, Scoop has outdone himself with regards to tonight's guest, who, my goodness, I mean, this guy's bio. A reporter for Fox News up in Detroit. He's appeared on BBC television, Fox News, of course, CNN, HBO, currently tearing it up for the affiliate in Detroit, I might add, and we've run some of his excellent reports on our website. A Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, written books including the New York Times best-selling Detroit, An American Autopsy, which is available tonight for your purchase. He is called by Scoop Stanton the world's greatest reporter, and I might have a hard time disputing that. Ladies and gentlemen, the Political Cesspool proudly welcomes not only Peter Scoop Stanton, but the one and only Charlie LaDuff. Gentlemen, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Charlie, take it away.
Ted is? Guess what? Ever been to Ohio?
I have been to Ohio. Yes, I have.
Yeah, you know the two best things about going to Ohio?
What's that?
Taking a dump and getting some gas. You know, I've been to Cleveland. I love it.
If we had the rim shot sound effect, Charlie, we would certainly ring it there. And I'll tell you, you know, you are a guest that is certainly going to be remembered on this broadcast, certainly for more than one reason now, but in all good ways, you know, we have had...
Sorry, my dog's barking, man. Me and Perry are hanging out in my garage. Got a 1965 Mustang right here.
Well, I was going to say, we got a lot to talk about. We might have more to talk about now. But, you know, we have had a lot of guests on this show.
No, are you a car guy? Do you love cars?
Well, I like to drive them, but I'm not an aficionado. Oldies, yeah, you know, 60s music, man, we can talk about. Geez. What can I say?
I love cars. You know, hey, I'm in Detroit. I love cars.
Well, it's in the blood, right?
Yeah, it is. You know, to be honest, you know, you call me up, I know Detroit. Where are you, in Nashville?
I'm in Memphis, actually. unfortunately.
In Memphis? I love Memphis. That's like a sister city of Detroit.
In many ways.
I love Memphis.
I love it because it's home.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know what? I when I was in Memphis, you did my resume. Thank you. I was there looking for a story to do when we were writing about race. And Memphis is interesting because remember the garbage strike?
Well, that was before my time. I was born in 80, but I do know about it.
But you remember that, right? And that's when King got shot. Remember?
Well, of course I know. I can't say I remember it from personal reflection, but I know the history of it, yes.
I mean, it's in your lore. You're from Memphis. I'm from Detroit. You know,
right.
We've had a riot. We got the car companies. We're from places. Memphis is a place. It's a real place. It's an American place. It's your home.
Certainly we have shared some of the same... What's the adjective I'm looking for here, Charlie?
History. You're looking for the noun.
There it is. Maybe it's a noun. I would say discontent and rancor. You know, the good, the bad, the ugly. It all manifests itself here. And you wrote about that. If you don't mind me getting down and talking shop a little bit, I read your very excellent article. And by the way, folks, you should know it's an honor to have Charlie LaDuff on at any time. But certainly an honor to have him on the day after.
Wait, let's do a sound check. Can you hear Perry?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
I can hear you fine. I hear you clear, Perry.
I'm Charlie's boy, man.
All right, so who exactly is Perry? this is live radio at its finest. I knew Charlie was going to be on. Our producer told me Perry is going to be on. Why don't Charlie, could you give me a bio of Perry before we get on with the business of this interview?
I am Charlie's neighbor. I am somebody that is an aficionado of Charlie's news reporting. And as well, I'm a native Detroiter as well. So we have both lived and breathed the same thing that Charlie will be talking about tonight.
Well, I'm glad to have you on, Perry. You're more than welcome to join the party here. It's always a party, always unscripted and unrehearsed here on this particular broadcast.
Are you guys libertarians?
I certainly have some libertarian leanings. If I had to use a word to describe myself, I would say paleo conservative, because I don't want to be sullied by some of the modern day politically correct Republicans. But
paleo conservative sounds like a fossil, dude.
Well, I know it's not the most endearing or sexy adjective, but if I say conservative, I certainly don't want to be confused for maybe a John McCain or somebody. I voted for Ron Paul, so to give you an idea.
Explain it to us.
John McCain's middle of the road. To be honest, you're Ron Paul, bad guy?
Yeah.
RuPaul?
Not RuPaul.
Oh, Perry's Indian. Perry's from, what's it called now, Mumbai?
Mumbai.
It used to be Bombay, didn't it?
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, we got diverse. It's a diverse lineup tonight in the cesspool.
You got some culture up in
Perry's
there.
Island, we were hanging out, and we were talking about you guys, or whatever libertarianism means, or paleo conservative, or Occupy liberal. We're just independents. We're just free-thinking dudes, right, Perry?
Absolutely.
And our argument's waiting for your logic. And I'm not hearing a whole hell of a lot of logic out there. Regular guy, saved his money, worked, was Christian and charitable. And what's your religion, man?
Hindu.
He's Hindu and charitable. They're pretty close. We both love the water.
Are you asking me?
No, I'm just spouting off for a show. We want to do an hour here. Howard Stern asked me about my sex life.
Well, listen, I can tell you, Charlie, we're definitely going to fill an hour, because we haven't even got one question in a segment nearly in the bag. So we're, on a night where, my wingmen are out, you are more than filling it, buddy.
Sweet, dude. I'm sorry if I'm running all over it. I just figured it's better radio than most.
Well, this is definitely off the beaten path, but I like it. I like it. It's live radio.
What you have to do in the media, though.
Well, no one does it better than you, and I'll say this, and I don't blow smoke, and I don't offer flattery. Compliments on this show were earned and not deserved. Folks, certainly if you've gone to our website over the years, off and on, I would say maybe, we've run half a dozen, 10, 12 of Charlie's exposés in Detroit on different issues, and he covers it all. And he does it with a flair and panache that's really second to none. And I guess you're picking up on some of that personality here. Charlie, how would you describe your particular form of journalism, if you had to? Irreverent?
That's pretty good. Give me a second. I would... Off the beaten path. Perry, go ahead and talk in there.
Oh, man, no, man, you know it. It's off the beaten path.
You know what I got? You know what I got? New York Times in me. I got New York Times in me. I'm a Times man. I did 12, 10, whatever, 11. I don't know. But I'm a Times man. I try to do the work. I try to read the documents and get them myself. You know what I'm saying? I hang out late at night. I stake stuff out. You know what I mean? I try to be logical. And then all the other stuff that makes it appealing to you, you know, act like a fool because I am a fool. Act like myself. I'm regular. I understand TV. You do too. Radio. But I try to do the work and not insult anybody in terms of fake hairspray, tan makeup, nonsense. I try to credit the newspapers. You understand what I'm saying? I try to bring some information.
Well, folks,
everything else is what it is.
If you don't know what we're talking about, if for some reason or somehow our coverage of some of Charlie's news items has escaped your attention, you can do a simple YouTube search, surely, for Charlie LaDuff, Fox News Detroit, and they will come up. And when we get back, I would say certainly Charles is a journalist with brass balls, if I could say that. And he spares no sacred cow. He gets the story and he delivers it hard. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you, Charlie, about your piece in the Times.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson, and it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is Mercy, It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, we're jumping right back into the fire here with Charlie LaDuff. He is a reporter for Fox News Detroit. His video journalism is it's incredible. It's legendary. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. He's written three books, including the New York Times bestseller, Detroit and American Autopsy. Speaking of New York Times, Charlie, as I mentioned, you had a piece that was printed last night. Why don't you tell us about that? I thought you covered it fairly. It's a story that certainly has a racial animus, and you covered it much more frankly and honestly than most reporters would. You mentioned, of course, there have been injustices on both sides of the equation and that a double standard exists. Why don't you tell us exactly what happened in Detroit?
Hey, you did a pretty good job there. More or less, basically, a white older man hit a kid playing chicken in traffic. That's what it seems to be. Let me just, you know, give the allegedly or perhaps all that. But he stopped. In this town, people don't stop. Street lights are out, you know, whatever. They don't stop when they hit somebody. He stopped. It was the middle of the day. You know, by witnesses' accounts, 12 people set upon him. Yeah, they were black. And there was 150 onlookers, mostly black. Probably a couple whites if you include Arabs as being white. Because that's who owned the liquor store nearby. That's who owned the gas station nearby. And, you know, what does it mean? It's not, I'm not complaining that there's a double standard. I'm just trying to point out that there's a two-way street and that this thing called race in America is hard. That was wrong. There's also complaints from blacks that should be registered and acknowledged. And then there's the fifth stuff, which is Perry leaning over there. He's a brown guy. His people are new here. Right, Perry? You're Indian. How do you see race?
Yeah, I mean we got the same prejudices and things, but we're a minority amongst minorities, so we don't have to say that I think the majority minority has, and so that's why there's this robust issue with what's actually going on.
And Perry, where do you fall? Are Indians, East Indians, not American Indians, are East Indians, do they fall white or do they fall black?
It's funny because we're considered the educated minority, so we're considered the white of the minority. And that's kind of the way we proceed with things. But when you look at it, we're still a minority. We're still looked at differently.
Well, I mean, certainly, Perry, you know, being an Indian, you don't hear about the interest of Indians or Indian Americans, however you would want to describe that, certainly as much as you do black interest or Hispanic interest, or now, of course, even homosexual interest. And maybe if you were homosexual, you'd get a little more play.
Absolutely.
Are you homosexual, Perry?
I'm far from it.
That's cool. We closed the garage to hear you guys better, but, I mean, that's cool.
But well, listen.
We turned on the motor to keep warm.
Well, is it still cool up in Detroit? It's hot. It's hot down in Memphis today.
Yeah, no, it's cold, man.
Cold, man.
Yeah, it's still a couple of more weeks of winter, I guess. But no, folks, check out Charlie LaDuff's column in the New York Times. Now, I saw it last night, Charlie. Is that actually in today's paper or was it yesterday's?
Today's, I believe. But,
okay.
You know, in the world of the internet, they posted early.
Right.
But,
so I actually saw it in the wee morning hours this morning, about 2 a.m.
For being on your show, but don't kiss my ass anymore with my resume.
Well, listen, you know, people need to know who we're talking to. People need to know who we're talking to, and we're going to let that be known.
You're talking to 4 News. Hey, where's Scoop? Scoop, you out there?
Yeah, right here. Just, I'm taking it all in, Charlie. But
Scoop,
since one of us is talking up all the airtime, I have to take a back seat since I'm co-hosting.
Say it again?
I said since somebody on the other end of the phone is taking all the airtime, I'm just taking a back seat as a co-host. But anyways, Charlie, your book is called Detroit, an American Autopsy. Why include the word American and not just call it Detroit, an autopsy?
No one's ever asked me that because I pretty much assume that's granted. Detroit is America. That's the whole point of the damn book. But people have asked me, why autopsy when there's 700,000 people living in the city proper and 4 million around it. And I say, well, vivisection is not really that interesting, nor is Metro Detroit. So let me give you this title, Metro Detroit, an American vivisection. That doesn't work. But, you know, shorthand title.
Well, if folks can't figure out what the book is about from the title, why don't you indulge us a little bit?
It's a mess here. It's hard. It's a mess. I don't think explain it to your listeners, because they're probably intelligent and are, you know, aware of some things. It's just hard here, man. We're broke. We're broke. We're struggling. Some of us aren't broke. You know, your relations lean on you. We're worried about the government. We're worried about our children's education. We're worried about our retirement, you know. How are we supposed to live? How's our kids supposed to not be broke? Because there's no shame in that, but if anybody's ever been in any proximity to it, it sucks. You know, that's all.
Well, certainly.
What about you? I mean, what about you?
What would you like to know? Man?
What's it like?
Well, in Memphis, you know, I'm middle class.
You in Memphis proper?
Oh, of course not. I'm in the suburbs.
Which one?
I'm in Bartlett.
Bartlett. What's Bartlett like? Is it on the north side or the...
Bartlett's on the east side. If you come in, let's just say you're traveling in from Little Rock and you're coming in from Arkansas into Memphis, you cross over the Memphis Bridge, Mississippi River, you're in downtown Memphis, you keep going east on I-40 towards Nashville, and we're about 12 to 16 miles east of Memphis. You know, certainly, and you know, and we've got some of that real estate that you've got, the $500 houses that you talk about in Detroit, so... You know, no. Yeah. I mean, nobody that values the safety of their families wants to live in the inner city of Memphis. You know, that's just the way it is.
No, nobody wants to live like that. And I wish, you know, let's just say it, the people of Bartlett, I wish they'd remember that. You know what I mean? There's a few punks making it bad, but it just sucks to be poor. And if I can see anything, my criticism of Obama, for instance, I don't know why you're going on tour about a minimum wage. What are you doing? You're preparing us for the future? I don't blame Obama. I remember Bush. It was horrible. It was a horrible epic.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. You know, Clinton, I mean, that's the guy that started to sell out of the White House. Remember he leased the Lincoln bedroom to contributors?
Yeah, he turned into a hot sheet motel.
Yeah, and he had Rubin as his Secretary of Treasury. He signed banking deregulation. I know that bothers libertarians, but you ought to regulate banks and the currency. They signed NAFTA. So in 15 years, in a flash, everything that was promising about the country is all of a sudden second world competitive.
And of course, the subsequent administrations that were Republican, when the Republicans had all of Washington, did nothing to reverse any of those bad decisions. Listen, they're all, you have no argument here. They're all bad. Yeah. They're all bad.
People should stop voting for amateurs. And they should stop voting for the party.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, certainly you got a new face of Detroit with the mayor there. Any better or worse, or new boss, same as the old boss?
Too early to tell. But we're bankrupt.
Well, and you talk about it being an autopsy. An autopsy would certainly lead us to believe that you consider Detroit to be dead, and it would be hard to argue against that. Is there any resuscitation?
No, I never said Detroit was dead.
Well, an autopsy would lead me to believe
that. Was a clever play on words. I couldn't use vivisection, which is a living dissection, the patient's alive, surgery, taking a look at it, taking a look at its guts. Hopefully, somebody listening might give it a try, and think it was an honest, naked portrayal where I even pulled my own pants down. You know what I mean? I'm not a journalist. I'm a reporter. There's a difference. I'm not full of myself. I'm really trying not to be. Really trying not to be any... I don't like sign. I won't sign autographs. You know, kid sees you on TV and he goes, you know, let me get an autograph. You give the kid an autograph. When an adult asks for an autograph, you absolutely... never give one. What am I, Tom Cruise? Here's my card. If there's a problem, give me a call. We're equals. We're friends. We're cousins. You know what I mean?
Well, I appreciate your man of the people populist type of attitude. I mean, we certainly have that too
here. But it's not fake. It's not fake. It's not fake.
I believe that about you.
I'm not a populist. I'm not a man of the people. I'm just a person. I'm just a person. I'm nobody to be lauded. And thanks for digging my work, because that does mean a lot. I lose a lot of sleep over it. But everybody's got work. You know, I'm no better than Sissy in the stretch pants at the Applebee's. You know what I'm saying?
Now, yeah, I agree. Right? Now, listen, let me ask you this. Getting back to the question about the autopsy. Well, there's the music. I want you to ponder this question, Charlie, and we'll get Perry and Scoop on this when we come back. What's it going to take, if Detroit's not dead, what's it going to take to have a renaissance and a revival there? Y'all think about
money,
that, and we'll let you answer
money.
It when we come back.
Cash money.
Money, cash.
Thank you.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
All right.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, hopefully by now you know who we're talking to this hour. Charlie LaDuff, reporter for Fox News Detroit. Peter Scoop Stanton on the line as well, and Charlie's friend Perry from In the Neighborhood. And we want to hear from all of them before the time runs out this segment and we move on with the rest of the program in the second hour. I was asking y'all, you know, what's it going to take to get Detroit right? Certainly it has to be more than money. I mean, you know, you can throw all the money in the world at a problem. That's, you know, the federal government's fix for everything. More money, more money, more money. Without good stewardship, and responsible government, you know, money is not going to fix anything. Look at all the money they poured into education. You know, are we more educated and better educated now than we were in the 50s or even last century, the 1800s even? You know, you could argue that. So is it just money, guys, or is there something else I'm missing here?
Yeah, money helps.
It wouldn't hurt.
That's a start. That's a start.
Yeah, money's awesome. No bailout, just you know, money. I don't suspect we were any smarter or dumber in any epoch in time. You know what you know. But there's, speaking of money, there's three things you should always spend money on. For instance, never buy an airplane ticket for $89. Never buy a boob job, you know, for $200. Never buy a steak for $8. You know, so speaking of Applebee's, hey, Perry, what's your favorite family chain restaurant? Applebee's, TGI Fridays, Steak and Ale, what?
I prefer the Zach Galifianakis Chili's. I think that's the Chili's? Right one. Yeah.
Gentlemen?
Well, I don't have a particular chain restaurant, as, you know, most of the food they serve at the chain restaurant is not too good. Except I do like Five Guys Burgers.
Yeah, Five Guys.
Yeah, they're pretty good, but the joint stinks like grease, doesn't it?
Yeah, but, I mean, you can't beat the French fries.
That's exactly why the joint stinks like grease. can't have it all.
But, all right, know, Charlie, let me ask you this.
Well, that's the thing. It's going to save Detroit, real quick. You say, you know, investment. But, like, you know, what kind of investment? Chain restaurants?
Well,
what's left in this country? Detroit was factories. So are we talking factories which are gone? Are we talking Applebee's? No offense to Applebee's. What is the American future?
I'll agree with you there. I mean, certainly both parties have been working in concert.
You keep trying to get political, man.
It is political, because let me tell you why. They have taken away the manufacturing base of this country. They've outsourced all that. So, you know, the only thing America produces anymore is movies.
He's shaking his head no. What do you mean?
What's happening to the South, man? We got non-unionized factories all over the place.
That's true.
All over the place.
Yeah, but you cannot argue that America is more industrialized. America manufactures more. We have a stronger manufacturing base than we did in the day of Henry Ford, if you want to talk about, you know, legends of
Detroit. Well, those boys in the South are smart, because I talked to them, and the reason they rejected UAW was they said, what do they give us? I don't agree with their politics. They take the money, and they spend it on stuff I don't care about. Well, what jobs can you protect?
I mean, down in Mississippi, for instance, they have a big Nissan plant in Jackson, which is great. I mean, I'm glad the people of Jackson have Nissan, but that's not American.
Alabama, you know? They got the VW plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Right.
The biggest VW plant in the hemisphere, in fact, one of the biggest auto plants in the hemisphere, is in Puebla, Mexico. You know, there's now more Mexican auto workers than there are American auto workers.
Another problem, yeah. Another issue.
You know,
totally.
Who benefits? Who benefits from the laissez-faire capitalism? There's two industries that mostly lend to our capital imbalance, our trade imbalance, and that excluding oil and wheat and, you know, things like that. The two main pieces of the imbalance are, one, autos and auto parts,
right,
an American industry and American invention, and computers and computer components. American industry, American know-how. So how is it that this has happened? And this that I'm talking about is each and every individual's responsibility to feel and to know and to be able to express what this is, whether it's Bartlett, Tennessee, Livonia, Michigan, West Covina, California. We're all in it together. And I don't want to see this.
Well, and certainly Detroit, you know, getting back to what we were talking about with regards to the deindustrializing of America, as far as I'm concerned, Detroit has been hit very hard with that, because they were so based in industry and manufacturing with the autos. You know, obviously it goes without saying. And so,
murder,
you know, what has plagued all of America has hit Detroit even harder. And that's just one of the problems that faces Detroit. By no means is that in and of itself and alone the cause for all the dismay there. But let me ask you this, Charlie. We only have a few minutes left, and I'll tell you this. This hour has flown by. It's really gone by fast. This has been an unusual interview, and it's been a fast-paced one. I want to give Perry a chance to have a final word, say whatever is on his mind, and to scoop as well. But I've been talking about some of your entries, if you will, for Fox News Detroit, some of the stories you've covered. Give me two or three that stick out above all others that you would, if people wanted to go and check out some of your work, you would direct them to that. I mean, one that sticks out to me when you canoed the river there in Detroit. But what about
Perry
you?
Perry liked that one. Let me ask Perry, because I don't want to blow V8. Perry, what that I've done do you dig?
You honestly want to know?
Yeah.
I think it's time you guys need to check out his American section on the web. And it's, yeah, he's got something new coming up on the porn industry. Amazing.
Yeah, I just did that one. I'm doing Bundy. I went and saw Bundy out there in Nevada.
Ah.
You want to know what Harry Reid's up to? Stay tuned.
This is some 360 stuff.
Very good. Very good, Charlie. I look forward to that. I also saw one. I don't know when you put it up, but I'm going to watch it later. I saw it last night when I was searching for the article in the New York Times that apparently is appearing today in today's paper, how to harangue, what was it, a congressman?
Yeah, Henry Waxman. Waxman.
It's so fun. I mean, there's so much, folks, that you should look at, and I know Charlie doesn't want to tell you, go look at this one. This one's the best. Perry has chimed in. Perry's scoop, we'll go to Perry first. A final word, anything you wanted to say? Commercial radio isn't the most befitting venue for a great four-way conversation, and I want to make sure you have an opportunity. Perry, anything you want to add to the discussion that so far you haven't had the opportunity to do?
No, I think I'm clear here, but all I can say is that there's a skewed view of Detroit. I think you guys and as well as the audience out there needs to just understand Detroit. You've got to really dig in. There's something that I think the audience out there is just kind of missing, and we are in the depths of something that I don't think the rest of the U.S. could understand. And there's no easy answer, but money is definitely the first and foremost thing that we need to be able to move forward. Number two, I think we need support across the board. That's the one of the biggest things I think we've got an issue with. We've got too much rancor, too much issues across the board, and I think that's about it. That's all I got to say.
All right, I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you that without anything else to add. Just giving you the say. Scoop, a final word from you.
Okay, Charlie, real quick, I need your professional opinion. Who is the better musician, Jimmy Page or Frankie Valli?
you know, Jimmy Page, but quite frankly, I'm growing older and I find the music boring.
Okay, and second question. Will you come back to the political cesspool?
Will I come back to the political cesspool?
Right, this radio show that you're talking to right now.
Yeah, but I want to hear more from you, dude.
You're not the name.
Hey, I tell you what, listen, I'll make a deal, guys. Next time I'm out of town, I give the show to Scoop, and y'all just, y'all go at it. Y'all go at it, and you do whatever you want
to
do.
You come back too, man. It's your show.
There's no hating.
There's no hate.
Well, thank you for letting me know that it's my show. All right, Scoop, everybody. Hey, thank you, fellas.
Yeah, it was great.
Appreciate the time.
Yeah, call us when you guys visit Detroit.
You might be waiting on that one for a while, but if I go to a Pistons game, I'd be the only one there, so I could get a good seat.
You can, but you should come to the city, man. It's a cool city. It's cool.
Well, all right, I'll let you. I'll let y'all give us the tour.
We promise you will survive.
No tour. We don't do tours, man. We'll hang out.
All right. We'll hang out in the garage. You got it. Hey, listen, guys, and I want to see that Mustang. Thank you, fellas, and thank you, Scoop, for putting it all together.
No problem. Thank you, gentlemen.
You got it. Thank Charlie LaDuff, Fox News Detroit, his friend Perry, Scoop Stanton. Interesting interview. You know, certainly, obviously, more to Detroit, I think, and I was sharing this with both of them then. You know, economics, that's not it. I mean, Detroit has, and surely anyone being honest could admit this, there is a demographic and a cultural problem in Detroit that's not going to be solved with money. And, you know, it's a big government remedy is to put more money into it. I mean, certainly, you know, money never hurts anything, but into whose hands will this money go? And will it be properly allocated? I would say no. You know, you can't have a first world nation with a third world population. And until that changes in Detroit, I think you're going to see more of the same. That gives me no pleasure in saying that. That's just my opinion. And certainly they would have been more than welcome to challenge me on that. And actually, one of the reasons I wanted to let them go before saying that is because I didn't want LaDuff to be slimed by his contemporaries in the media for me having put that forth while he was on the air. But certainly I wanted to end the interview with that. Cultural problem, demographic problem in Detroit, in addition to the other problems they have, that's what I feel is most significant. You cannot have a first world nation with a third world population. But a big guest tonight, Charlie LaDuff, Fox News, Detroit, Pulitzer Prize winning journalist, and he's got a major piece in the New York Times today, and for those reasons and more. And he does do great work, folks, don't get me wrong. That's why he was on tonight, and we're happy to have him.